Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Just Another Football Podcast. I'm your host, Connor Miles. Today we have a 2020 first round mock draft special with Steve Shoup, creator of On the Clock NFL Mock Draft Simulator for fanspeak.com. He will have picks 1 through 8. We also have John Vogel, owner and creator of DraftRight. He will have picks 9 through 16. Tyler Boucher also joins the Fantasy Guru site, Elite Fantasy Headquarters. He will have picks 17 through 24, and then I will have picks 25 through 32. No trades, but we have some great picks and some great discussion had from our mock draft. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review and subscribe to the show, and thanks for tuning in.
And so I have the top 8 picks in this draft. This is Steve from fanspeak.com, creator of On the Clock Mock Draft Simulator. And so this was pretty easy for me, having the top 8 picks. Number one, I think it's pretty clear the Bengals are going to take Joe Burrow. They need the franchise quarterback. This is their guy. No reason to trade back. It's just their guy. He's had just a brilliant year in college at LSU, obviously won the national title. And I think he could do some nice things with this offense, given A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, and a few other pieces there. Number two, the Redskins. You know, the rumors are they're starting to get some calls about moving up, but I think they stick with Chase Young. We know Ron Rivera likes defense, doesn't get much better defense than Chase Young. I think they will take the luxury pick here. They clearly don't need a pass rusher when you already have Ryan Kerrigan and Montez Sweat. Redskins were among top 5 teams in sacks last year, but you just can't pass up a guy like Chase Young unless they just get absolutely blown away with an offer. Number three, I think the Lions are in an interesting spot. Again, a lot of trade talk with this pick. We're not doing trades in this mock, so I'm going to have them go with Jeffrey Okuda from Ohio State, going back-to-back Ohio State here. I think he's an elite corner, replaces Darius Slay. You're in a division with Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins, who for the last couple years has been a top 10, top 12 passer statistically. And I think he gives you that shutdown corner that this team needs and what Matt Patricia wants. Number four, this is where maybe there's a wild card. I went with the Giants, Tristan Wirfs, offensive tackle from Iowa. I think Isaiah Simmons would be an excellent pick here for the Giants if they go that route. I do think that they're going to look to maximize their investment in both Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. And the best way to do that is get an offensive tackle. Perhaps they are higher on somebody like Jedrick Wills from Alabama, or, of course, Andrew Thomas from Georgia. Both would be excellent options here as well. Wirfs, to me, is the safest pick, and I think given what happened with their Eric Flowers situation a few years back, I think they could go for that safety where, worst-case scenario, he's probably a very, very good guard. At number five, I have the Dolphins going here at quarterback, but I have them taking Justin Herbert. You know, there have been some rumors about Dolphins and Herbert all along. I think they want some more certainty here. I don't think they want the injury risk. I think they want a guy who can play early. I think they clearly need to go franchise quarterback. And this way, without trading up, they still have the rest of their assets to build around him. I think Herbert is a guy who had a very strong Senior Bowl week. I think he proved that he can be a franchise quarterback. Ryan Fitzpatrick allows him to not have to be thrown in week one, which is a plus, especially for a guy like Herbert, who didn't have the greatest offensive system in college or how it supported him, I'd say. At number six, I go the LA Chargers. I think they make the move here for Tua. I think what it boils down to is the Chargers need a fan base. The Rams are clearly the better team in LA right now and have a year leg up on the Chargers. As we see, there have just not been a lot of fans supporting Chargers gear, buying the season ticket plans. I think Tua helps bring you that. I mean, this is a guy who has had all the hype in the world. Everyone was talking about tanking for Tua. Now you get him without trading up. That's a steal. For the next pick, the Panthers, Ron Rivera left, and now Matt Rhule's there. I think they could go offense. Offensive tackle was definitely an option here. I think they could go defensive line. A guy like Derrick Brown or Javon Kinlaw would definitely be options here for me. But I think they replace Luke Kuechly. I think they replace it with Isaiah Simmons. I think he gives them that do everything linebacker. Of course, Simmons is even much more of a hybrid than, you know, Kuechly was a natural linebacker, but Simmons can just do it all. I mean, he can cover, he can blitz, he can defend the run. I think he's the jack of all trades guy that you want, and he can anchor this defense going forward. And I see that kind of being their situation where, you know, they went out and they did bring in, you know, an offensive tackle in that trade with the Chargers. They have Teddy Bridgewater now. I think they need some help on the defensive side of the ball. They lost a lot on defense with the defensive lineman defections, Kuechly retirement, and, of course, James Bradbury leaving. Finally, for the Cardinals, with my eighth selection, I went with Jedrick Wills. I know there's a lot of talk about them maybe going wide receiver, but this is a team that stockpiled wide receivers last year. They still have Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald, and, oh, yeah, they just trade for DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, it's obviously a great story to add C.D. Lamb to Kyler Murray or a speed burner like Ruggs, but I think what you have to do for Murray is keep him upright. And, you know, I think this is going to be a very good offense skill position-wise with those running backs. Drake and Edmonds are a pretty impressive duo. So I really like what Arizona's building, but I think they need more offensive line protection. And Jedrick Wills is my pick here. Again, I think you can make a perfect case for Andrew Thomas, but I just like Wills a little bit better with his upside. So those are my top eight picks, how I see the draft playing out.
Yeah, I'm John Vogel. I'm with DraftRight. It's my website, NFLDraftRight.com. You can follow me on Twitter at John D.A. Vogel, and through, of course, the website at DraftRight. I got picks 9 through 16. Let's get to it. 9 is the Jaguars. I have them taking Derrick Brown. So I've heard a few things that Tristan Wirfs is their number one guy on the board, and he's who I would have gone with had he been available. But Derrick Brown is number two. So I think this is a really good pick for Jacksonville. They got a defensive line. They need to kind of rebuild it after trading away a couple of their valuable assets. Yannick's about to be on the way out. You got Calais Campbell is already gone. So Derrick Brown's going to kind of help start to rebuild that, kind of push out, get some talent. Derrick Brown's big thing that he does is he eats double team blocks. And that's like the biggest thing about him, is that he's going to free your edges 1v1, especially if you've got a good other, you know, like interior guy next to him. The Browns, I have a 10, taking Andrew Thomas, offensive tackle out of Georgia. This guy is probably the best left tackle prospect in the class. I really like Andrew Thomas in the sense that he's very refined technically. And while his upside is kind of limited because he is so refined, he's immediately walking in as a, you know, probably a good top 20 tackle in the league. And he can only just get better with repetition. So this is exactly what the Browns need. They didn't really have offensive tackles. I mean, I feel like my grandmother could have gone out there and blocked better at times than, you know, Greg Robinson did. So this left tackle, they've already filled the right tackle with Jack Conklin. Left tackle Andrew Thomas gives them two cornerstones that they can just anchor on that offensive line and hopefully give Baker Mayfield more time to read the field and make plays down with this receiving corps. At 11, I've got the Jets taking wide receiver CeeDee Lamb out of Oklahoma. And this is just – CeeDee Lamb is basically Robbie Anderson on steroids. This is an upgrade for them. CeeDee Lamb's after-the-catch ability is out of this world. And he's got good hands. He runs pretty good routes. So I think he can work on that. So he has some upside in the sense that once he starts to get these nuances down and stuff and expand on his route tree, he's going to be really good. At 12, the Las Vegas Raiders, it takes me a while to get used to saying that, Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver out of Alabama. They're going to bolster their receiving corps. They need to, especially with the whole, the fact that their main receiving targets last year were tight ends. So they understand they need to be able to stretch the field a little bit. Jeudy has good speed. You know, he's a 4.4 guy. But the thing about him is that he's more of a technological runner. He's very, very, very well refined in his route running, very much like Calvin Ridley was coming out last year. So this does help the Raiders. It does give them a receiver and with pretty reliable hands for the most part. There's only two instances I can think of off the top of my head that he dropped egregious passes, but it helps them a lot. At 13, I've got the 49ers taking cornerback C.J. Henderson out of Florida. C.J. is an interesting prospect. A lot of people really like him because he's probably the best cover corner in the class. You ask him to cover zone, you ask him to cover man, he's going to do it, and he's sticky. He's hard to get off. He's also one of the most athletic guys. He ran a 4.39 40 at the combine, so he's insanely fast. He's a really, really awesome fit. The only thing is he's not very physical, and he doesn't like to tackle. And that's the only knock that a lot of people have on him. I think the 49ers can work with that because he's such a good cover corner. The Buccaneers at 14, I have been taking Mekhi Becton out of Louisville. He's an offensive tackle. He's a left tackle, 6'7", 360 pounds, 360 pounds, crazy size. And he flings dudes in the ACC around like they're rag dolls. So he's a little bit raw because he's relied on his physical size and strength for so long that he doesn't have a lot of the technical stuff. He needs to improve his plant. He can get a little carried away with his blocks sometimes and focus on one guy. So those are a couple things he needs to overcome. But once he gets there, he's going to be a very solid left tackle in the class, in the league. The Broncos at 15, I have taken Henry Ruggs, wide receiver out of Alabama. This is the fastest receiver in the class. Ruggs has insane speed. And a lot of people like to call him a one-trick pony because, you know, normally when you see a receiver run a 4.27 40 like Ruggs did, that's what they are. They're speed guys. But Ruggs is a little bit more than that. You know, he can be physical. He can be a guy who can make plays after the catch. And he's, you know, he's the speed. Like against South Carolina, there's this beautiful play where he took a slant and outran the entire secondary to the sideline. Scored a touchdown from 60 yards out. That's the type of playmaking that Henry Ruggs brings, and that's a perfect fit to slide in there with Cortland Sutton for Drew Lock. My last pick that I did is the Falcons at 16. I have them taking Javon Kinlaw, defensive tackle out of South Carolina, 6'7", 310, 315 pounds. This guy's a freak. He's one of these guys that demands double teams all the time. He can take over a game when he wants to. The thing about Javon Kinlaw is that from what I understand, is the Falcons very much value him and are willing to trade up in this draft to secure him if they have to. And it honestly makes sense because you're going to have Kinlaw and Grady Jarrett both taking double team blocks and freeing edges 1-on-1v1. Potentially, if it's a six-man protection you're going up against, that's going to leave you an edge on a tight end. So that makes a lot of sense for the Falcons to pull off if they can get Kinlaw, because it just completely opens up the entire defense.
Hey guys, Tyler Beaker here from Fantasy Guru and Elite Fantasy. I'll be covering picks 17 through 24 in this mock draft. At number 17, the Dallas Cowboys select Clavon Chaisson, edge rusher from LSU. Robert Quinn and his 11.5 sacks from last year vacated, and this team needs a pass rusher opposite DeMarcus Lawrence. Alden Smith was a nice pick for clicks, but his usage at this stage is all question marks. Chaisson has a good first step, but his pass rush moves need some refinement and development. That being said, he has all the physical benchmarks you like to see, but the production has been just middling. Limited sack numbers, limited QB hurries, but he does have great bend and great speed off the edge. I really like how this mock played out, where teams can focus on DeMarcus Lawrence on one side, usually via one or two tackles or guards focusing on him, letting Chaisson go one-on-one against opposing tackles with a chance to put up better numbers. At pick number 18, Miami selects offensive tackle Josh Jones from Houston. Dolphins added some help in free agency along the offensive line with Erek Flowers, but a blue-chip offensive tackle like Jones to help protect that number 5 pick in Justin Herbert makes a ton of sense. Dolphins are loaded with picks, 14 total picks in this draft. Getting a left tackle here for the future makes a lot of sense. At number 19, the Las Vegas Raiders select Christian Fulton, cornerback LSU. After addressing wide receiver with pick number 12, the Raiders turn their attention to the secondary with pick 19. Playing in a division with Patrick Mahomes, who torched them for 400-plus yards and 4 touchdowns in week 2, the Raiders definitely need some cornerback help. Fulton is a former 5-star recruit and 2-year starter for LSU. Great size for press coverage and sticky man-to-man ability. 24 pass breakups over the last 2 years, and has been terrific at forcing incompletions against some tough SEC receivers. PFF gave him a 91.9 coverage grade for his entire career, of which 90-plus is considered elite. He has 4.36 speed, 6 foot, 197 pounds, great fit for any defense. At pick number 20, Jacksonville Jaguars go with Xavier McKinney, safety from Alabama. Jaguars arguably need help at every level of this defense. After taking Derek Brown with the number 9 pick, Jacksonville addresses the back end of their defense by taking arguably the top safety in this class in McKinney. He's a Swiss Army knife in the secondary. He can play in the box, back deep, or even in the slot if needed. He's a ball hawk when lining up deep and a terror off the edge whenever they send him in off blitz. This guy just does it all, and the Jaguars desperately, desperately need an injection of youth and talent on the back end. Current projected starter, free safety Ronnie Harrison, was PFF's number 67 graded safety last year. An upgrade's needed. For the Philadelphia Eagles at number 21, they're going to go with Justin Jefferson, wide receiver, LSU. Trading for Darius Slay helped bolster the back end of the Eagles secondary in a massive way, and it also thrust up wide receiver to the team's top need. DeSean Jackson, 33 years old, Alshon Jeffrey, 30 years old, both are on the back nine of their respective careers, spending much of last season dealing with injuries. We saw last year's second-round pick, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, blow a massive opportunity to step up. He's a question mark at this point, so they definitely need to invest here at the wide receiver position. The Eagles ran out of two tight end sets, the most in the league last year, mostly out of necessity, despite having immense talent there. Getting a top receiver, no matter who it is, honestly, the top receiver on their board should be their pick here at pick number 21. And I hope they double down on the position, taking a second one on day three. Pick number 22, the Minnesota Vikings select Jeff Gladney, cornerback TCU. Minnesota needs a complete overhaul of their secondary after letting Xavier Rhodes and Trey Waynes walk in free agency. Poor performances last year, major upgrades are needed. Gladney can now be penciled in as a starter opposite of former first-rounder Mike Hughes. Wide receiver is also a need, but the depth of this year's class slides corner up to 22, considering New England or New Orleans could potentially select a defensive back, and Minnesota picks again at 25. SIS charted him with facing 124 targets over the last 2 years. He allowed just a 35% completion rate against and 32 total pass breakups plus interceptions. Fantastic closing speed. Allows him to recover anytime he makes a misstep when trailing a receiver, and also a really good ability to get back in coverage and force contested catches. PFF charted him with 46 forced contested catches over the last 2 years. That's the second most in FBS. He fills a massive need for the Vikings and can start right away. New England at 23, they're really a wild card in this year's draft. I think they could go a lot of directions. For this mock, I went with Jordan Love, quarterback from Utah State. They have 12 picks in this year's draft, with only Miami owning more. Are the Patriots really comfortable turning over the reins to Jarrett Stidham? I'm not entirely sure or sold on that. Jordan Love has a great mix of mobility and arm strength that could entice the Patriots to take a shot on him. He did struggle immensely under pressure, has to work on his decision-making, but there were some raw tools there, especially in the 2018 film, to make him an intriguing pick. 32-6 touchdown interception ratio that year, 8.5 yards per attempt, and was a top 10 in passer efficiency rating at 158.3. He was pressed to make a lot of plays in Utah State in 2019, and the decision-making down spiraled that. If he can get back to that 2018 form, perhaps we see Belichick get the most out of this quarterback. If he flops hard for whatever reason, the team's in a great position then to get Trevor Lawrence next season. 24, New Orleans Saints, Patrick Queen, linebacker from LSU. AJ Klein's departure opens a vacant spot next to DeMario Davis. Queen's a bit of a luxury pick, but the Saints don't really have a ton of holes on their roster. They were pretty active in free agency filling what they needed. Queen has good speed to attack either the line of scrimmage via rushing opportunities or stick with running backs or tight ends on passing plays. Good range, good short area quickness, and I really like his football IQ. I think the rich get richer here with the Saints improving what may be considered their lone weakness.
Hello, my fellow sports fanatics. If you are like me and love talking about sports, I have the perfect app for you. It's called YouStadium, a social media app dedicated to sports, which allows you to talk about each league with fellow fans, get instant breaking news notifications straight to your phone, and debate the sports we all love. Download the app with either Apple App Store or Google Play Store and join discussions about your favorite team or the rest of the leagues. YouStadium has contests and point systems to win real prizes like an NFL jersey of your choice. You can find YouStadium on Twitter and Instagram at YouStadium, U-S-T-A-D-I-U-M, for more information. Log on to YouStadium today and join me as we talk about sports.
Hey guys, Connor here, your host of Just Another Football Podcast. I have picks 25 through 32, And starting off with the Minnesota Vikings at pick 25, I take Jalen Reagor, wide receiver, TCU. The Vikings desperately need to replace Stephon's Diggs' production in a very stout passing offense with Kirk Cousins at quarterback. Jalen Reagor had the fourth worst completion percentage when targeted last year in college football entirely. He gets a far more accurate quarterback with Kirk Cousins, and his double moves are reminiscent of Diggs. I like that pick for Minnesota right there. At number 26 for the Miami Dolphins, I have them taking DeAndre Swift, running back, Georgia. It was hard to really say that there's going to be a running back that goes in the first round this draft. I'm not really sure these guys are first-round caliber talents, but the fifth-year option comes into play here for Miami to have him for the entirety of a five-year contract at least, which is important for a running back. He offers a great complement to Jordan Howard, and he gives another receiving weapon for Justin Herbert. And that's what you want to do is put weapons around your young quarterback. The Dolphins did that year with Swift at 26. At 27, I have a pretty wild card pick for the Seattle Seahawks here. But let's face it, they're known as a wild card team that takes players that you wouldn't even expect in the first round all the time. So I have them taking Jeremy Chinn here, safety out of Southern Illinois. Look, they had Quandre Diggs. I know they just released Tedrick Thompson. The safety picture is not very clear over there in Seattle. They really need a presence back there like they had in Earl Thomas. I'm not saying Jeremy Chinn is the next Earl Thomas, but his single high coverage is really one of the best in the class, in the safety class, and he's a stout tackler too. I like him in Seattle's defense. All right, Baltimore Ravens here coming in at the 28th pick, and I have them picking Denzel Mims, wide receiver, Baylor. Mims really shot up draft charts after a stout Senior Bowl, and he might not even be available when the Ravens get on the clock at 28. But he gives a great compliment to Hollywood Brown and a sure hand. Not his hands have been questionable, but I think they will be better in the NFL. As we found out in 2018, he was playing with a broken hand. He gives Lamar Jackson a really good possession type X wide receiver and a great pairing, like I said, along with Hollywood Brown. I like that for the Ravens offense. Tennessee Titans come in at pick 29. I have them taking Javon Diggs, cornerback, Alabama. They had Logan Ryan last year, he's gone. Malcolm Butler has been a complete bust so far for the Tennessee. They need to address the cornerback position so they can move Adoree Jackson more inside like he's accustomed to. I like Trevon Diggs going to Alabama right here. Going to Tennessee right here. The Green Bay Packers now come in at pick 30. I had them taking Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver, Arizona State. I know there's a ton of smoke about the Packers taking a quarterback in this draft, especially Jordan Love in the first round. I don't buy it. You still have at least four good years of Aaron Rodgers prime play. Put weapons around him. Help out Devontae Adams. Get Brandon Ayuk here, the playmaker that Rodgers needs in the wide receiver corps to pair with Devin Funchess. I like this pick for the Packers right here. The San Francisco 49ers come in with the 31st pick. I have them taking Austin Jackson, offensive tackle, USC. I think it's a top-heavy offensive tackle class that will push guys into the first round so teams don't miss out on their offensive tackle prospect. And I can definitely see the 49ers with not having a pick in the later rounds, because they're not supposed to have a pick till like the fifth round, taking an offensive tackle here so that he can groom behind Joe Staley for a season, who's been banged up and on the fringe of retirement. Have one season behind Joe Staley, come in and start. Perfect time for him to groom and become that left tackle that he's projected to be. I have Kansas City Chiefs here with the 32nd pick, and I had them taking Kenneth Murray, linebacker, Oklahoma. Look, Kenneth Murray's having probably the worst pre-draft process. He's been shooting down a lot of boards lately, but the athletic traits are there, and the Chiefs really need a linebacker of his caliber after losing Darren Lee and Reggie Lagwin. I like Kenneth Murray filling in as Steve Spagnuolo's defense.